This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Monday, December 19th. Thank you to MeUndies for sponsoring this very special episode of If I Were You.
Hell yeah. I'm wearing my Christmas MeUndies right now, actually.
Oh, really? Is that the white ones with the snowflake pattern on it?
They are actually the black ones with the Christmas lights all over them.
Very trill. Very nice. It's only fitting, form-fitting, that MeUndies sponsors our 250th episode of If I Were You. They've been with us for so long. We love them so much. We love them so hard. We love them so hard and so much. The underwear is incredibly comfortable. Their clothing is incredibly stylish. Everything is great and fits perfectly and is very affordable, and even more so if you use our coupon code.
That's
so
what's up.
If you go to MeUndies.com/Amir or MeUndies.com/Shake, they'll give you 20% off your first order, and they'll also ship it to you for free. So the prices that you see on the website are actually higher than what you'll end up paying.
That's how the discount works.
Well,
guys,
you know what's pretty dope? They have these French Terry sweatshirts now. Have you seen that?
Oh, no.
We should get our hands on some of that.
Yes, please.
They have sweatshirts.
What colors do they come in?
Burgundy, emerald, and black.
I like the black.
I mean, these underwear models are legit. They're cut. I don't know what to tell you guys. They got stuff for men. They got stuff for females. They got hoodies. They got joggers. They got lounge pants. A great gift for yourself and for your loved one this holiday season. So check them out. MeUndies.com/Amir or MeUndies.com/Jake. Uncle Gabrus in the house for
love, John.
Great episode. Let's get right into it. I'm excited. I want to listen to it now.
Bye.
Things got real.
If I were you, I'd break it off. I'd think it through. I'd take a walk. Shit, tell the truth. If I were you. Here's what I'd do. I'd draw some lines, I'd cross them too. I'd kick them out and break some rules. If I were you, here's what I'd do. If I were you, here's what I'd do.
A cappella.
Beautiful. That was haunting.
Or is it a cappella?
Am I allowed to talk yet?
Have at it, dude. Gayrus in the house.
Thanks for having me. That's cool that the Mumford & Sons do your introduction music now.
Foot stomp and hand clap and tambourine.
Yeah. I feel like that was recorded in a barn after a wedding full of people with mustaches and suspenders.
Vests?
Vests. That was good, though.
Yeah, that was really good.
His name is Taylor Dukes, part of a trio called 3B. They love our show, so they came up with a little ditty. So thanks to the @3B trio, which is what they are on Instagram.
Yeah, next time, right, add in that twangy banjo that I know you guys got in the band.
Was it a cappella if they don't do the instrument, or is it a cappella only if some guy's like, boom, chicken, boom, boom, down?
I think it's a cappella, no, it just means without any accompaniment.
So a barbershop quartet is a cappella too.
Yes. Yeah.
Sick. Do you guys like a cappella music?
Yeah, pentatonics or whatever, those are my guys. Although I will say, I'm not really a fan of acapella music, but every once in a while you see some like acapella cover of something and you're like, okay, yeah, that was pretty fucking cool.
I remember like, you have to remember that like when you see those covers, you only like it once or twice. Or,
right.
Like I remember I downloaded like 12 Ben Folds acapella songs on my phone and I never ever listened to them, any of them again.
Right. And
but they are all dope.
Acapella covers are also usually of good songs. Yeah. And so you're like, this is great.
They're cheating.
One recent that I saw that was really good was Dolly Parton, Miley Cyrus, and Pentatonix doing Jolene acapella on The Voice.
Wow.
And it was really good.
Why is acapella such a college thing? Like, I feel like college crews love acapella, but then there's no, like, post-college acapella groups.
I feel like it's up there with improv, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe it's something you did for fun in college, but after college, you have to really start dedicating your
time. But there is a lot of good improv teams, like at UCB, that
there's
are
a lot of great acapella groups.
At UCB. They do improv acapella.
My problem with acapella is that the black guy always has to rap. I feel like every time I watch an acapella thing, they're like, and they,
well, it's
and
either
like,
the black guy or the really the tiny little blonde girl or something. Yeah, like, right. So they want just to like flip it all upside down.
Against type. And flip. The black guy's doing the acoustic guitar with his mouth. That's 3B Trio once again. Thanks, guys. All right, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by Gabrus. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
This is our episode 250.
Wow,
big deal.
Holy shit, goal weight.
You're
for me too.
This is our goal podcast.
Let's meet in the middle at 250. I would love to see Jake at 250.
Oh man,
Streeter and I once joked about. We were just talking about Streeter, but we joked about racing to our average. So when he was like 250 and I was like 150, we're like, let's race to 200.
Oh, what a fucking cinch. That I mean, maybe it's difficult for you to put on 50 pounds.
Right. Is it easier? I think it would be easier to lose 50 than for me to gain 50.
I don't know.
Well, it depends on what you wanted to get. Like, if you just wanted to gain 50 pounds of anything, you could probably win.
I would like nothing more than for you to say, Gabrus, I want you to help me gain 50 pounds.
Wow. What would you do?
What?
I didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah, you would squat every other day.
Oh, you think it would be muscle? You wouldn't be like just fucking
it would be
weight
both.
It
would
pasta
be both.
And working out.
Yeah, it would be not even pasta. We would just be fucking microwaving ice cream and drinking it. That's like the big one that like when Sylvester Stallone put on all the weight for Copland, that's what people do is like you just put ice cream in the microwave and you can drink it like it's a glass of milk and it's like 10,000 calories.
Jesus, that sounds awesome. I since I hurt my ankle, I haven't exercised, but I feel like I haven't gained weight. I've just gotten weaker. Like, if anything, I'm like atrophying, losing muscle.
It's possible.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
We'll
anyway,
get that muscle 200? Back on.
Yeah. Especially once I'm drinking fucking ice cream. I think that's what I'm doing right now.
You practically are.
So as you know, you've done the show before. What episode? This is your fourth, third time on the show?
I think this is my third time.
Great.
And we've recorded in a different location
every single time.
The first time was that house you guys were renting with the little thing cabin in the back that Rosie was living
in. Yeah, that was a nice day.
And then the other one was the old HeadGum Studios.
Oh, yeah.
At Commonwealth.
Yeah, and now we're here.
And now we're here.
Started from the top, now we're here.
Started from the middle, and now we're slightly above average. Upper middle.
Upper middle class studio.
I'm a huge fan. I listen to every episode.
Jesus. Just not of this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I'm a big Jake and Amir fan, but podcasts, no bueno.
Take it or leave it. We should say that Gabrus has his own podcast, High and Mighty, on this here network, HeadGum.
Yes, I do.
Jake and I recently did episodes of your show.
Right.
I did porn. A lot of fun talking about porn.
And I did 90s sitcoms, which, you know.
By the way, those are just like crystallized versions of your personalities. You're like, I did porn because I'm a pervert, and I did 90s sitcoms because I'm the cable guy.
The basic cable guy. The network guy.
Basic bitches.
But this here is an advice podcast. We have real emails from real people. We're going to answer them or do our best to answer them. You're good at these, Gabrus. I feel like you have a soft spot for advice.
I do enjoy helping younger people.
You also enjoy like speaking from an area of expertise, whether it's founded or not. You're like, this is what you should do. Trust me.
Yeah, yeah. I like. Oh yeah. I think I'm very smart.
Yeah. That's the show.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna start with a guy who's a 19-year-old sophomore in college. What should we call this guy? You can give him a fake name.
Oh,
Dude.
Oh my god! No more information. I thought when you like.
Oh, you want to listen to this question and then name him?
Yeah, like, you know, homeless in Cleveland.
Oh, that'd be cool. All right, let's do that. Hey, guys, love the podcast. Thought I'd submit a question of my own for a change.
It's going to be homeless in Cleveland, regardless of how you finish.
I'm a 19-year-old homeless man in Cleveland. No, I'm a 19-year-old sophomore in college, and I'm not sure if you're aware, but finals week has probably just ended by the time you read this. So I guess my question in a nutshell is, how do you deal with stress or stressful situations? For some reason, every time finals week comes around, I developed a habit of channeling all my stress straight into my asshole. I shit you not, pun intended. When the finals start to hit, I need to have an extraction plan to the bathroom laid out. Today, on the 13th of December, was my first of four finals this week, and in the midst of my exam, my stomach moaned three times, and I thought I would liquefy myself. Luckily, I made it to the bathroom just in time, but the mess afterwards was astounding and shocking as I was lifted off the seat from propulsion. Jesus. I do well on my exams, but maybe it's the pressure I subconsciously put on myself. I don't know. Any advice on dealing with stress or shitting in stressful situations? Thanks. Happy holidays. Sincerely,
Final Countdown.
Final Countdown in Seattle. As soon as I read the subject line, my shameful shitting, I assumed this would be a good question for you to. Yeah,
this is a
on.
Great question for me. I've had diarrhea since I was 13.
This is another quick plug of, but Gabrus on the Twinnovation podcast was the funniest couple minutes of you guys talking about shit. I think you said you shit like your asshole was sneezing into the toilet bowl.
Yeah. That's one way I've used to describe shitting is sneezing. The other one is like deadliest catch, like a big crab net opening and just all the shit dumps out onto the deck of the
Bubba Gump.
Yeah.
Just Bubba
a
Dump.
Boot and a fucking
Bubba Dump
license plate.
Oh my God.
License plate from Nova Scotia from 1973. It only has four digits on it. They couldn't imagine more than 2,000 cars.
Stress shitting is real. I get that.
When you say you've been diarrheaing since 13, you mean on and off, or it's just a constant
pretty much.
Scream.
I haven't taken a solid shit since the 90s.
Speaking of our sitcoms.
I wipe my ass with a hair dryer.
With a VHS player.
I get that. Playing sports, even to date, like if I have like a sporting event or whatever, I will shit four times before it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, at least. I shit two times every morning, guaranteed, minimum.
Jake's that way with peeing. Like, when something is stressful, you're like, I gotta go pee, and then you gotta pee again, and you gotta pee again. You're that
and
way
my,
with pooing.
And then my asshole does the opposite. Like, it's like my pee hole gets as big as my asshole when I'm nervous.
Oh,
like,
a penile anal exchange of sorts.
If I'm nervous about something, I will like go for days without shitting, I think.
Constipation. You're a stress constipator.
I just don't even think about it.
It just doesn't come out.
Yeah, nothing.
Have you ever been constipated?
Do you like a couple days go by and you're like, I haven't shit in a couple of days, and you're like, holy shit, I'm under deadline or
whenever
shit,
whenever I travel, I won't shit pretty much. It'll throw me off for like I think when we were in Dublin, I didn't shit until we got to London.
You guys were in Dublin for two semesters.
We did a semester at sea.
I didn't shit until we came to port.
Port off
shit
Prince.
Or get off the port. I'm the opposite. When I travel, if I'm like out of the country or flying a lot, I'm shitting. I'm never taking a full shit. I'm taking four quarter shits a day. You know, it's like
I've, as it comes instead of waiting your turn.
Yeah, and traveling also, you eat like garbage. So I've been on like – where I like had to shit at the airport I land at.
How do you shit on airplanes?
I never shit on an airplane before in my entire life so long.
Uh-huh.
And then when I flew to Dubai just to eat a Pizza Hut, on the flight back, I took my first shit on a plane ever and my second and my third. On one flight.
Before you took off.
The same time.
And one time on a first class flight in the middle of the night on a red eye, I woke up, ran to the bathroom, and shit for 45 minutes. When I came out, people were like,
You joined the Mile High Club by yourself.
Yeah, I was coming and shitting everywhere. When I flew home from Dubai, I got out of the John, and there was five people lined up waiting.
Oh,
and they just are – I had put my head down. Like, I felt like Bernie Madoff. I wanted to, like, put a coat over my head and run back to my seat. But then I had to get back up and get in line again, and people were all like, dude.
That'd be fun if you put your coat up and then didn't walk back to your seat, but walked to the end of the line.
And was like, hey, come on, hurry this fucking thing up here, guys.
Jesus, who was in there?
Number one only.
It smells like shit. So this guy specifically, you can commiserate with his stressful shitting.
I totally get it, yeah. I have stress-induced shitting. And also shitting-induced stress, which makes me like a cycle. Fucking Krebs cycle of nonstop drama.
Dude, yeah. You'll stress about your shits?
I'll stress about having to shit. Like that's why I shit a lot when I travel, because I don't want to have to shit on a plane, or I don't want to have to shit like if when I go away with my wife and it's like we were in Paris and it's like, all right, let's wake up and walk around Paris. I'm like, I need to drink a coffee in the room and be here for 40 minutes after that coffee.
I'm really lucky that mine is only piss, because I know the stress. I know that feeling of like, what if I need to use the bathroom? But mine is always like, I can always at least like, I can pee in a corner somewhere. I can get away with it.
I've been big on like trying to track back where some of these anxieties and issues I have. I haven't gone to therapy, but I've been big on trying to sort like the starting points.
You're
for
doing pre-therapy.
Yeah, and can my you... brother has the same thing. My brother will be like, we'll be ready to go out, and he'll be like, wait, and he'll go in the bathroom and he'll like come out like 10 minutes later. I'm like, did you shit? He's like, nah, nothing came out. I'm like, you were just trying the shit? He's like, I just wanted to be done. And I'm like, why is that a thing we have?
Yeah.
We must have like tried to go to the bathroom once where we're out and my mom was like, ew, no shitting in public.
Right. You know? Sometimes like when you had like a long car ride with all your whole family, like, we're not pulling over.
Exactly.
And then clench your cheeks together.
Because my mom made us pose for so many stupid pictures our whole lives, like just standing in front of the sign of the hotel or whatever, that to date, my brother, who has a 2-month-old son, like the picture they sent for their Christmas card was like them all with Santa, and my brother is miserable in the picture, and I'm like, you didn't even smile for your kid's holiday photo? And he's like, I hate getting my picture taken.
It's all because of the duty.
Yeah, I did it all for the duty.
Nice.
What?
Wait, was this guy asking how to get over this?
Yeah, or like any plans? Do you shit before? Like if you had a 3-hour exam, would you shit right before? Would you just not think about it?
I would try to get it out before. A thing that's really helped me is I am a coffee drinker, and I will, like when I am staying in New York working or something like that, I'll make sure I can get coffee in my room, or I'll buy coffee the night before and like iced coffee and keep it in the hotel fridge.
Wow.
And I'll wake up earlier than I would normally do to get ready.
So you can
have the coffee and power through the shit. Yeah.
As a pisser, that stuff doesn't help, because the more liquid I consume, the bigger of a problem.
Exactly.
It is. So the best thing I can do is sometimes like before I get on a plane, I won't drink a lot of water. And then I'm up there, I'm fucking getting a headache, I'm super dehydrated.
Have 6 glasses of red wine, stagger to the fucking bathroom.
Puke instead of shit.
Suddenly I'm shitting everywhere.
I might recommend this dude wake up a little earlier than he normally would, if it's an early exam.
Yeah.
But set himself, if he's not a coffee drinker, get a meal in. Get food in, get that process going, give yourself enough time to eat a meal, digest, and possibly shit it out. Leave yourself with nothing in the tank if you can.
Yeah, going empty.
Yeah. It all stems from, I was on the swim team, and like you wouldn't want to have to shit once you were in the pool, because then you got to get out freezing cold and get back to the toilet and then shit in the toilet and come back to practice anyway.
That sounds
so hard. I'd always be like 6 minutes late to practice, but I'd be in the locker room. Like my team would be like, come on, Gabrus, we got to go swim. And I'm like, hold on, I just want to make sure I'm completely done. You're like vigorously wiping, you know?
Well, if you're going back to the pool, you probably don't have to wipe, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, you just hold your ass open over the filter. It's like sucking all, you know,
with a plunger. All right. I can't beat that advice, so on to the next, I guess.
What about you, Amir? You take a lot of tests.
You know, I'm unfortunate in many genetic regards, but I feel like I'm pretty regular shitter and pisser. I don't have any problems with that. My stomach is so far.
No, your
far
problems
been
are
all right.
Psychological and social.
Yeah, exactly. I've deeper issues than diarrhea, I'll tell you that much right now. Let's see if this one addresses it. All right, this is from another guy. Let's name him after. All right. I'm in a sticky pinch, and I could use some advice. I wanted to write my girlfriend a song for Christmas that was funny and sweet. I decided to make a parody of Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis. Yes, I'm fucking adorable, I know. So I wrote the lyrics, and I wanted to play an instrument at the same time. I asked my friend to help me learn the piano for the song. This is where the problem occurred. He lives extremely far away, so we've been working on Skype, but he asked me for some money to hire him as a musician teacher, as a music teacher. I, of course, said yes and paid him in advance for 5 lessons, very cheap. Now we've done 2 lessons, and he's already asking for more, saying I'll need at least 10 lessons. He wants the money now. How do I tell him I don't want lessons anymore? He's a terrible teacher, he's a terrible teacher, and over Skype, he keeps cutting out while teaching, and I don't have the heart or interest, really, to ask him to repeat what he said. I've given up hope on learning this stupid song. Thanks for the help, y'all. Love.
Ebony and Ivory.
Very nice. I like this post name-making. What are your thoughts on charging friends at all, just that general universe? Do you do that?
As you get older, the one thing, like, I don't like to charge friends. We all do favors, but there's not much stuff I can do in return for someone. You know what I mean? I don't have that much of a skill. Like, if someone were to help me with my website, I can't be like, cool, I'll improv coach you, or cool, I'll, you know, act in a sketch video, and I don't want to be doing that. But I think as you get older, like, for me, like, I'll have a friend, if a friend wants to help me with something, I will. Like, I have a friend who's recutting my reel for me. I said, let me pay you. And they're like, please, no, you don't have to. I'm like, let me so I can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, that's fair. Like, then there's no guilt about asking for more notes. There's no guilt for like, hey, do another round to edit. There's no, like, I'm like, I'll give you the money. It's just, I'd rather give money to a friend than a stranger.
Right.
I don't mind paying for, you know, goods and services.
What about couch crashing? Do you still do that?
Only with very specific people.
You couch crashed with us one night in last year.
Yeah, in Austin.
Well, that
one
was a
morning.
Bed crash.
Oh, I guess I slept there that night too. I just don't remember it.
You passed out in the kitchen.
So shit faced. Yeah. I dropped that glass.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time, and I think only time I've ever seen you feel shame.
Yeah.
I've seen you like destroy many things, but for whatever reason, when that happened, you broke a glass. You felt bad.
Yeah, I felt bad, and I didn't want to clean it up. I just wanted to go to sleep. I was so beat, but like, can't leave broken glass on a shared house.
Yeah, that's
floor.
The one thing where you can't. Like, I'll get that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's like the worst idea ever.
Everyone's crawling around. So this guy specifically, friend extorting him for more lessons.
It sounds like this guy's a little bit of a bad pupil. Like, he says, I missed stuff that he says, and I don't have the heart or desire, frankly, to tell him to repeat what he said.
Yeah.
It sounds like you just don't want to learn the piano and you're blaming the teacher.
So his idea was to play a song, a Christmas song for his girlfriend, but he is not musical? The thing that's driving me crazy. Why don't you have your friend just pay your friend to record the song?
Oh, that's pretty good advice.
Yeah, and then you could sing over it.
Is that
totally? Yeah, you don't.
Actually, I'm not really good at singing either. So
yeah,
I hired
why is
two
this?
Friends.
First of all, I've also got notes on this dude. How long have you been with this girl? Because if you think you might break up, she will tell this Christmas song story for the rest of your fucking life and not in a positive
way. I've got two thoughts. One, you want to learn the hardest instrument, one of the hardest instruments there is. Like,
piano?
Do the ukulele and play the song. Right. You can do that yourself on online videos. It's like, I wrote a song and I want to learn to play the harp by Christmas.
Yeah. Hopefully my theremin instructor that I deal with exclusively over Slack will be...
I've been in the situation where I recorded a song for a girl that I was into at the time, and it's still like hard baked onto my iPhone. Like,
wow.
And you really don't want this shit out there.
No.
Do your best to not actually record.
It's hard to
whatever
like,
you do.
It's hard to adjust gifts based on whether you think it'll eventually come out or not. Like, you sort of have to like live in a world where like this person will appreciate it, and
right.
I can't. Maybe in 5 years,
that's fair. But just play it for her live. Don't show.
Oh, that's good.
Don't show her the.
Don't make a video.
Yeah, please don't make a video.
Yeah, or send it over Snapchat so it deletes.
Put it on YouTube, but ideally unlisted or password protected.
Right, and it's. Crazy that his friend wants to bump it up to 10 lessons, unless this guy sucks so bad at piano and his buddy wants to.
Yeah.
What, like, it just seems if you delineated, all right, cool, I'll pay you for 5 lessons, he can't ask you to do 10. I mean, he can.
At the 2 lesson mark is a little early to be like, trust me, the 3 more, it won't be enough.
Yeah, it sounds like the musician friend is having a hard go wherever the fuck he is.
You could probably just be like, let's stick with the 5, and after 5, if I need more, I'll let you know. But like, maybe I'll be able to cobble this together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a piano lesson would, like, what is it more than just telling you how to, like, where to, how to play the song? Like, what is the lesson beyond that?
That's an interesting question. I've never taken a music lesson.
I've taken two versions of music lessons.
Piano?
Yeah, and piano and guitar lessons when I was little.
And?
They tell you where the notes are.
Seems like just practicing over and over. What's the difference between lesson 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Right, well, specifically for this practice.
It's practice, really, I guess. Right. But like, you get better at practice and you learn. There's a lot to learn on the fucking piano.
But he could more be like, importantly, he's only trying to learn one song. He's not trying to learn how to play the piano.
Yeah.
But like, so that's take 10. I feel like I could learn a song, like if it's just a matter of memorizing the order.
Well, when I learned the piano, I learned like the Jurassic Park theme song and the Star Wars theme song. So like, I think those are like simple enough.
Right, yeah.
Who knows? Like, if you arbitrarily pick an Elvis song that you want to cover, that might be a hard one on the piano.
He could fake it, I bet. If he's doing a video, he could do like, hey, you record the piano. I'll like hide my hands, lay that as a track underneath. So I'm singing only.
Is this a video that he's doing for his girlfriend? I thought it's the only reason we're thinking about video is because that's how he's learning the piano.
Oh, yeah. If it's just a song, you don't have to prove that you played the piano at all.
And also, I bet you could pay less than you're paying your friend to get piano lessons from an actual piano instructor that will come to your home.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, take real piano. I think what we got to talk about with this guy here is, what's your end game here, son?
I don't think he wants to learn the piano.
If you don't want to learn the piano, you want to learn how to play one song.
Yeah, one song.
Maybe piano's not the right move, you know what I mean? Or learn your one song, get it from your friend, give him a fucking couple of bucks, and get out of there.
But don't give him the full 10.
Don't go for 10 unless you think you're going to need 5 more. But this dude is like fucking pyramid scheme. This is like, that's how like when you sign up for a gym and they give you like 5 free personal training sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the second you use one, they're like, you know, this package is this. You're doing great with this one. You know, they're just trying to.
It's not going to be enough, man.
8 CDs for 1 penny.
The what is it called? The
Columbia
Music House.
Oh, by the way, listeners of Jake and Amir, a CD is a way people used to listen to music. We don't have time to get
pennies
into.
Are an archaic form of payment. That
they're like really small bitcoins that are real IRL.
Oh, that's weird. Isn't that a waste of material? I guess.
Kappa, baby.
All right, let's take a break. We're roughly halfway done with this episode. We'll be right back with more Gabrus after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product. From Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash... way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's a non-movement
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement
seems
like
it should
be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay, I wouldn't. But so
it's more of a fitnessnah.com
It's more of a fitnessnah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box. Yeah,
it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Holidays coming up.
Holy shit, I can't believe we took a full-blown 90-minute break.
You did have to diarrhea, you said.
Yeah, well, I'm dry. I'm empty. I'm a husk of a man.
Have you ever seen a video of shit coming out of your butthole? Do you know what it looks like when it's coming out of your butt?
Do you have a video of my... Do you have a toilet cam here at HeadGum?
Would you like to see that video? Are you interested at all?
You paid me $5 to see it and $100 for me to delete it.
I hate to only talk about shit, but I do have a couple more poop questions for
you. Did you ever see a video of yourself shitting?
I once did. I didn't see poop coming out of the butt, but I did videotape poop coming out of my butt. From a side angle.
Oh, okay.
So the cheek was covering the opening.
But to just see it drop?
Just to see what it looked like.
You edited it to make the shit go into your ass.
That's correct, too. As a joke. Yeah, it was like poop going...
It was really actually upsetting.
It was poetic, really.
This was, you said, for your senior thesis?
Yeah. B minus.
Not bad.
Terrible.
My teacher was a fucking pervert.
He said he would like to see more shit come into my ass.
Yeah, my teacher was a real shit freak.
Nice. Any huge holiday plans coming up worth mentioning?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Nothing exciting. Just, you know, my in-laws are divorced, and I have a mom, so it's three Christmases for us.
Three?
Oh, I'm getting a tattoo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
First tattoo?
My first tattoo at 34.
No, that you don't have any tattoos?
None.
That
you
must be
someone
rare.
That would like have gotten a drunken tattoo on your ass in college.
Right, but my dad, when I was a kid, did something really cool. He's like, if you want a tattoo, write it down or draw it, put it in an envelope. Open it in 1 year. If you still want it, you can get it.
Oh.
And then 1 year later, I opened an envelope with a picture of a shark wearing sunglasses, flexing his muscles. And I was
would
like,
get that now, dude.
Now I like it again. But I like when I was like 18, I was like, what was I thinking?
That's a really good lesson.
Yeah.
So what's the tattoo of?
I'm going to get the outline of Long Island, I believe, just to fully lean into the douchebag that I've become.
You love it.
I love it. I miss Long Island. I do.
So would I be able to see it from where you are, the t-shirt right
there?
Yeah,
maybe. Hopefully I'll get the guns popping in time for that as well.
I like that.
Would you ever move back to Long Island?
No.
What about the East Coast?
I mean, I would I think that would be cool, but I honestly, it's really just much nicer out here. I just like it way more, and like, I now have two nephews, so that's like the only thing that would make me want to be
East
Coast
like
as more.
The family starts growing.
Yeah,
out
exactly,
there.
And especially if I eventually have kids, I'd like them to be around. Their
Where
cousins
are your Where's your wife's family from?
Westchester, just outside of New York as well.
Oh shit!
So it really makes sense for us to live on the East Coast, but I want to be in Hollywood,
Hollywood.
But also 4 years of living out here with not a lot of TV work, so apparently you could do High and Mighty from a fucking apartment in fucking Seaford.
And the dollar would go a long way over there, right?
Yeah, not too bad, yeah. But Long Island is 30 minutes from the city, and Tim Dillon, Long Island comedian I really like, I heard him quoted as saying, 40 minutes from the city and 40 years. Because it is like, it's like fucking Trump country over there. I don't want to start alienating.
No, we're going to start saying Merry Christmas again.
I'm serious.
I think
it's man of the year, not person of the year.
Now he's just trolling people.
He's just saying it so we'll tweet about it, which will work, but still. Strong Island tattoo.
Yeah.
No text.
Would you ever get a tattoo?
I don't think so. Because again, I don't have any. I don't have the thing where I would open up an envelope and be like, "Good idea, me."
Lakers.
Yeah, you don't have because you don't have an element of your personality that's like interesting. Is not the right word. But like, I couldn't say that with a straight face.
Instantly identifiable. I guess.
Right. Like, there's nothing I would be like, oh. The only like the Lakers or basketball, right. And it's like, gonna get a Lakers tattoo. It's like,
I can't get
a
basketball tattoo unless you play basketball.
Even like,
if you
that
really
weird.
Like it, but like LeBron James has some basketball tattoos, that makes a lot of
I
sense.
I might get chosen one on my back like he does, but other than that, I wouldn't get one. Maybe if I was forced to get a tattoo,
yeah, if you were like, you have to get a tattoo and it can't just be like a dot on the bottom of
right.
your foot. What would you get?
So the one that I keep saying as a joke where maybe I like it now is Milhouse from The Simpsons on my ass.
Oh, I think that's really good.
Oh, I like that.
No, I really do, because now you're just reminded me of like, I just realized how similar to Milhouse.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's like a cute little character that I really liked, and then it's on my butt, which is kind of a funny place for it.
I think, yeah, and also very hideable.
Yeah, yeah, very hideable. He has
you have
glasses.
To switch your swimwear, but otherwise you're good.
I would before,
no more thongs.
Before the whole Woody Allen thing, that would have been a good tattoo. But now if he's an actual child molester, I feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't want that on your tiny little boy butt.
I once ordered a Woody Allen painting, and I had it up for a while, and then the whole like thing reopened. I'm like, oh, I feel a little bad.
Yeah, well, that was in your Bill Cosby room, right?
Yeah, yeah. That I had no problems with to this day.
I like Hitler's art.
Jake's getting two tattoos removed right now.
Oh yeah, that's
are
true.
You?
Yeah,
look at his ankle. He's got.
I knew you had an ankle tattoo, right?
He's got
like
two
clover.
On my ankle,
so that
right.
one's going away.
This one's a
the word every
tribal sun.
Okay, and what was the other one?
It was the word every.
But it's almost gone.
Every, E-V-E-R-Y?
Yeah. It's like a... I'm going to have to put the every somewhere else on my body because I have a family house where there's like a poem on the wall that says, it is always every summer in this house. It's like our summer house.
Oh.
And everybody in my family has one word from that sentence.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I'm removing mine.
Why are you removing it, though? Because you don't want it on your ankle?
I dislike my family.
I really did not like the way the two ankle tattoos looked.
Yeah, that's fair. That sounds like if you told me. But that's also like that's some 20-year-old shit right there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have removed the everyone, but when I was in the doctor's office, they were like, we could remove this one, too, for the same price. And I was like, oh. I would rather have it on my arm.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Go
so for
you're
it.
Gonna get. That's really funny. You're not technically getting a tattoo removed. You're getting it moved.
I'm getting it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A tattoo moval.
That'd be really funny. They're like, we could just graft this onto your back. You have like a big scar, like chunk.
He's
on your
getting
back.
The tribal sun on his neck.
His skin doesn't take. Just green all around it.
Words aren't the only thing I ever really wanted to get tattooed, but I can never choose the word.
Yeah, it's
because I love Courier New. I'm obsessed with that font.
Oh. Courier so, New?
Yeah.
Like, is that a typewriter?
Yeah, and all lowercase.
Oh, cool.
Courier New is like, I always think of like the way E.E. Cummings signed his, you know, you were like, it was always all lowercase.
That's my sister actually has Courier New. Her word is this, and she has it on her wrist. That's kind
of
cool.
I wanted, but I could never think of a word. The only word that would make sense would be like a kid's name or Tiffany or something like
right.
that, but that's weird to get your wife's name tattooed on. I feel like that's a jinx. That's
oh,
like
yeah,
a divorce
yeah.
jinx,
totally,
right?
Totally.
Also, like, had... how am I supposed to cheat on it if people ask it? Who's Tiffany? I'm like, my mom.
She's dead.
Fuck you. I killed her. Yeah, a word is what I was going to get what the hell dash Jack Burton, which is like quoting Jack Burton, who's the Kurt Russell character in Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm, yeah, you can do a movie thing.
That feels weird, you know? Like, I don't want to explain my tattoo either.
I think that the only way to really do it to me is like to have a whole entire sleeve or a shitload of tattoos. Then nobody's asking you like, oh, what's this one mean?
Yeah, right.
Like when people see my tribal sun, they're like, what does that mean to you? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
I don't know, the sun and the 90s.
I enjoyed the summer and Sublime.
Why don't you get another tattoo of the explanation?
That's a good idea. I might
yeah, that way
ankle.
You could just go, it's over here. Is it talking out of turn to say, doesn't Streeter have the Cabbage Patch signature on the bottom of his foot?
Cabbage Patch, like, no, he has established 1982. Is
right,
that
right.
Mean?
And
which
a
is
Celtic
what the,
cross.
Right, but isn't the, that's what the Cabbage Patches have? Is they're established with the year that they were made on their bottom of their foot? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one,
that's
too.
That's really funny.
Very dystopian.
Yeah, this is all about Streeter.
Yeah, this is a Streeter. Welcome back to Streetercast. What else do you like
it's
about Streeter?
I would be one of 10 people who who listen to that.
Yeah.
A podcast about Streeter.
That was a really nice and mean thing to say about Streeter.
Right, because I would listen to it, but I'm assuming only 9 other people would.
Yeah. Actually, unlike anybody else, I like Streeter.
I don't want to be a contrarian here, but I think Streeter's an all right guy. I know how most of you feel.
All right. Do you want to answer a couple more questions? And
is
how
that
about
the premise of this podcast?
Yeah. Let's leave the world of test taking and get into the world of pussy eating.
All right. This is another category I feel confident to speak about. Shitting and pussy eating is like my two things.
One begets the other.
And look at this. This one starts with, hey, at the ripe old age of 34, I most certainly fall into the older demographic of your podcast, but I still need your advice. I've been happily married for 8 years, and I love my wife very much. Our sex life is great. In fact, it's gotten exponentially better over the years. Here's the issue. My wife rarely lets me go down on her, like maybe once a year if I'm lucky. I really enjoy doing it, and I feel guilty that I get head, but I can't reciprocate. On the very rare occasions that I get to venture south, it's immediately following a bath, and I'm only allowed to stay down there for a few minutes. I've asked her why this is, and she says that she doesn't like it because I'm so close to her bum hole. Don't worry, I don't want to eat that Milky Way magic star. And that she finds the thought of it gross. Have you guys ever come across this before? Is she lying to me because I'm actually really bad at it? I've tried watching female-friendly porn to get tips, and I'm not going to use the advice of regular porn by spitting on or slapping the poor lady flower.
DJ style.
Should I let it go and let it be an annual treat? Or should I probe deeper? Sorry this hasn't been an amusing question, but I really hope you can help me.
Oh, this is a fucking genuinely good question.
Who is this guy?
Torture Tongue.
Nice. Very good.
That's a very good question.
So have you ever experienced this? You've been married forever, so maybe you don't have the breadth of knowledge, but do you have the depth of knowledge to understand where this guy's coming from?
I could understand where this guy is coming from. That's not a problem in our house.
Right.
The beard rides are free-flowing.
Free-flowing.
Because I really am a very I'm very, very into cunnilingus.
Right.
I very much enjoy doing it. I'm very good at it. According to my audience.
According to the one person that matters that thinks that.
I mean, I have only been eating one pussy, but it has been for over a decade, so I've gotten pretty good at
it. If practice makes pussy, then you're the king.
Copy that. That tracks all the way to the end.
Your other tattoo says practice makes pussy.
And that's just because when I was a kid, I just wanted to play in games and skip practices.
I've experienced this, the lady that doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
A girlfriend?
No, not a girlfriend, but
I feel like a girl would like you to eat her out because then you would stop talking.
I think it.
Well, while he's down there, he is saying practice makes pussy.
I think it's people if a lady isn't so comfortable with her vagina, like how he says the bath thing.
Yeah,
like if you're insecure about it, then you don't want somebody close to it, let alone the closest you could possibly be.
Right. This harkens back to a health class. I remember I made some joke where the teacher's like explaining sex, and she's like, ladies and boys, you know, you don't have to go right this. I'm like, yeah, that's why you get a blowjob. And I like made something funny, and my teacher goes, you think putting your mouth on someone else's genitals is less intimate than sex? And in that moment, I realized, like, it's definitely more intimate.
Yeah, that's the most.
Right. Even though, like, blowjob always traditionally comes before fucking, there's something that's biologically intimate.
Yeah, like, I think oral sex is, like, my favorite possible thing.
Yeah.
And so you'd rather climax during that than sex?
I guess I'd probably, if I don't know if I'd like to do both.
At the very least, they're tied.
But it's definitely called sex.
Sex, if comma,
you, like,
sex.
If you have like a simultaneous orgasm while you're 69ing, mom, turn off the podcast. I think that's the best. I think that's probably the
best.
Wait,
hold
on,
there is. Mom. My mom, turn it on.
Because I am turned on.
Because we have to have one mom listening at all times.
It's a weird game.
My mom
playing.
Told me she actually does turn off the podcast when I tell her to.
Oh, really?
And so she'll have stopped listening to this episode.
All right, cool. Let's talk about how hot your mom is.
Great. So,
wait, I should have done it while she was listening.
I've dealt with this problem with like a real significant other before.
A real one.
Yeah, because I also like
you're saying Amir's is a doll.
Yeah.
Well, Amir's is like
mine's imaginary.
Yours is a date. Like if you have oral sex with somebody that's like pretty like a casual thing, they're like, oh, I don't really like it, that means that they're not really comfortable with a stranger having their face in their box,
right?
You know, yeah. That, and that's understandable. But if you're in a 8-year relationship, you better like be down with the person you love, like get an up close scent of your muff. You know what I mean? I'm really freewheeling because my mom's not listening.
Yeah, wow, we're really hitting with the synonyms here. I love it.
I don't know exactly where I was headed.
I think I know where you're headed, right. And I think we need to track back. You need to find out what her holdup is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it because I think a lot of women think they're concerned that they smell.
Right.
That's a thing. And like, I know in my history, without getting it, like, you kind of have to explain, like, no, I like the smell of your pussy.
Yeah, that's exactly
you think it doesn't smell like, because it doesn't smell like lotion or body wash.
Yeah.
It's bad. No.
And I'd honestly prefer, like, I don't want you to take a bath. I want you to, like, I want to see you after yoga.
Yeah, I want post spin class. Yeah,
you trust, dude.
I want you to treat my face like you're another spin class.
And I'm sorry, but just because your vagina is like near your asshole, that's another reason why I want to be down there.
And also, by the way, it sounds like if your wife's having a hard time with you eating her out in the front, she's not going to want it any other way. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Oh, eating dude. Ass is a delight as well.
I mean, the vagina is just a road running to the star on the map.
But I think what we're talking about here is he needs to have a frank conversation with her. Because if it's something he really enjoys doing, truly, right. And not just out of guilt of getting blowjobs.
Yeah.
If he truly enjoys doing it, then he should have – whoa, excuse me, that's my stomach. Let's take another 90-minute break. We're on the top floor, right?
We're in your belly right now.
I think if that's something you really want to do, then you – in your marriage, it's going to be healthy if you get to do it.
Yeah, and this is also – from experience, I remember the way that I got over this hump was to basically convince this person that it was like – that really turned me on, that I loved the way they tasted and smelled, and that like any of their hangups were like not shared by me. They were my turn-ons.
Right.
And maybe this guy hasn't had like a frank discussion with his wife. Like she might have been like, oh, I don't really like it. He'd be like, oh, cool, whatever, me either. I don't care. But like she should know that this is what – I mean – He calls it a once a year treat.
Really, I know. So if it's a treat so earnest for him, and lovely, if it's a treat for
whose
him,
birthday,
and it's and she, he said only for a couple of minutes. I think
and there's like a full a shower and a soak beforehand.
Right. You got to tell her, look, this is what I really want to do, and then you have to the next time the opportunity arises, you have to go out of your way to make her feel so comfortable. If that means she has a glass of wine, light up candles, play her favorite music, mm-hmm. Tell her the whole way through how much you're enjoying what you're doing. I love your smell. I love your taste. Seriously, make her feel as comfortable, as beautiful, right. As amazing as possible.
Show her
all
the reasons why you love it.
Right, exactly. And because, trust me, if you like doing it, man, that's going to be something that ends up being like a little bit of a stuck in your craw about your marriage. Mm-hmm. Because like that's like if you didn't get head from your wife and you wanted it, why wouldn't like how could you not start thinking about that getting it elsewhere or something that? You know what I mean?
And right. Definitely eat her ass.
Well, that's your advice for anybody. That's right. What you also said about the guy who couldn't take a exam without shitting.
Yeah. Get your ass eaten, bro. bra.
Everyone should have their.
This
ass
makes
eaten.
Me feel bad because I feel like. Also, maybe she would never orgasm from it because she's just too blocked, but she should open herself up to that. And he should fucking lay out the rose petals, roll the red carpet out, and say, like, here we go. We're going to do this, and you're going to like this, but, like, I'm going to do my best. Or find out what her hangups are. If it's like, oh, I don't like it being that close to my ass, it's like, okay, maybe I just pull your underwear to the side. Uh-huh. Oh, I don't want to lay down. I feel unflattering at the angle. Maybe it's about sitting on the face. Maybe she doesn't want to sit on the face.
I want this guy's wife to sit on my face. We're talking
I don't
about
even know anything about her.
Much.
Oh, God. I love use. I want to play fucking soak the beard with this guy's wife. That's what we call it in my house.
Soak the beard. I had a long day, John. I gotta have a glass of wine and soak your beard.
Okay, let's do it.
I signed you up for a Bikram yoga class, and then I'll pick you up at 8.
Yeah. It's just – also, it's something I got very good at because I was a quick ejaculator.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, so
it slows you down.
What?
It slows you down.
No, well, it makes sure she gets off at least first. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, so it's getting like, her to the 1 yard line, and then you like both cross the finish line.
Yeah, a lot of quick ejaculating is like has to do with taking the pressure off too.
Right.
Like if I go down on somebody and they orgasm, then I'm like, okay, this like the stakes aren't super high, and then I last longer anyway.
Right. Exactly. Because you're like you, and also like you don't get so worked up.
Yeah.
Has this got too real?
I'd love.
I know I'm hard
to swing with you. And your...
Yeah. Hey, Jake. If it's cool with you, could you eat out my wife?
Oh God, I hate to intrude, but wiping my beard. Let me just get it as dry as possible.
I need you to do it poorly, just so she has something to weigh it against. Do you have time for one last question?
Yeah.
Great, bro.
It's like a 45-minute question. Oh, it's just quick 10-part. Roman numeral 1A.
This is the table of contents. All right, this is from... Oh, can't say his name. Here it is. Ready? A year and a half ago, a friend was at my apartment, and I was telling her about a really good book that I had just finished. She asked if she could borrow it, so I lent her a copy. Over the course of the next year and a half, we wouldn't really see each other that much, and eventually grew apart. We're still on perfectly fine terms. The thing is, I've been trying to figure out a way to get my book back from her with having as little interaction with her as possible. I'm not really one to catch up with people. I'm kind of an awkward little Jew asshole. And honestly, I don't understand why people feel a social obligation to pretend you're friends with someone you don't really want to talk to when you bump into them, or in this case, need to pick something up that you lent them a year and a half ago. And I know what you're thinking. Why am I making this such a big deal? Well, you're totally right. I'm just a neurotic, crazy person who doesn't have the energy to make small talk with this now stranger. Can you guys think of a way that I can pick this book up under the pretense that I don't want to catch up with her, but without coming off as rude? Or am I being too wishful? Is there no way of avoiding having to grab a coffee for 45 minutes just to get my book back? Help! Thanks. Love?
Jew asshole.
Nice. Self-named Jew asshole.
Yeah, I would say maybe Amazon.com.
Oh, and get
buy
the book
your own fucking book.
Yeah, dude, just buy
it. I wonder why this is a one-of-a-kind book.
Well, I feel like he would have mentioned it if it was like autographed or one-of-a-kind or first edition.
Did he say one-of-a-kind?
He said, let my copy is as personalized as it got. So I don't understand why his copy is so...
Right. It's like when he's like talking about getting his book back and he goes, I don't know why I'm being like this. Maybe it's because I'm a little like, you don't have to say you're a Jew if you're really upset that a book you lent out 18 months ago isn't back.
It was the Bible.
You're definitely neurotic.
I agree.
Have you ever done this? Have you ever like lent someone something? You're like, just fucking keep it. I don't want to deal with you anymore. Maybe even an ex-girlfriend.
I feel like anytime you lend someone something in modern culture, you're saying like, I'm not positive I'm going to get this back.
Yeah. You remember when DVDs were a thing that you would borrow and let other people borrow, and it was hard to like keep track of who has your DVDs?
Tiff, I was a big DVD guy, and my wife lent my downstairs neighbor a few DVDs, and she didn't know which one she lent her. He took a couple, and then he gave back a couple, but I was like missing some movies, and I was like so furious. I was like so unnecessarily upset, but I couldn't even tell you what movies were, you know what I mean? Like, so, but I was just mad that someone got one over on me, I guess. But if you lend someone something, and if you're not good enough friends with this girl that you might not speak for 18 months,
you shouldn't have lent her anything,
or you should know that it's giving.
Does he want to read the book, or does he just want to have it back in his library?
We don't know.
If you already read the book, man, don't be a fucking loser.
Yeah, it is wondering why. It's funny when you want the book back that you've already read. Like, the book is done for you.
I used to, like, hang on to books for a long time. Now I started
giving them away.
Yeah. I don't know. You don't need – you have, like, a collection of, like, the trophies. Like, I finished this one.
Look at all the books
I finished. How smart I – these are all in my brain.
That's the reason I have books. The reason I buy books – well, first of all, I still can't do e-readers and stuff. And the reason I buy books is so that I can give them or lend them to people under the auspices of, like – I have a couple of friends that we sort of just give each other graphic novels, and we're like, read it, give it away, keep it, whatever. We'll just pass it around.
Read it and weep.
Yeah, read it and weep, motherfucker. Mm. Four aces.
What about a surrogate, somebody else at her house at a certain point?
Right, he's got to have some mutual friends. That's a good piece.
Oh, right, yeah. You say if you're going to see this girl, pick up my book.
Right, something like that. Otherwise, you do have to do it personally if you do want this specific book back.
Yeah, I mean, the best you could do is say like, "Hey, I'm in the neighborhood. Can I drop by?" And then you say hello, and be like, "I wish I had time to catch up. I have another thing." Just, well, yeah. I mean, two lies. It's a lie that you're in the neighborhood and a lie that you have something to go to.
Yeah, if you really don't want to interact with her and you are socially awkward enough that you don't want to interact with her, but also awkward enough that you want that book back, here's what you do.
Okay.
You, if she has a date, does she have a job? If you know she has a job, you say, hey, I... so random. I want this book back. A friend of mine was asking about it. Because it's been a year and a half now. Yeah, so there's good. A good chance she doesn't even have the book anymore.
Of course.
Hey, if you still have it, I'm going to be in your neighborhood tomorrow. I'm assuming you got to go to work or something. Leave it in your mailbox. Leave it underneath this. Put it behind, you know.
Leave it out in public because it's a book. No one will take it.
Right. Put it on your stoop and I'll come grab it.
I like that. Or you say like, hey, I'm going to pick it up. Are you home? She says, yes. But like you make sure there's a time when she has to leave by. And you say, I'm running late. Just leave it on your step. I'll pick it up.
Yeah. And then you're just sitting across the street in your car, fake reading a newspaper, watching her leave until you get fucking arrested. Yeah.
We know he has nothing to do because he spent this long obsessing over getting his book back.
This makes me so curious what the book is.
Yeah.
Right? Is this like, I'm so, like, it's like a
mysterious
father's
book of potions.
Diary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would
blows have dust off of it.
It's the Necronomicon.
It's just the Fountainhead.
Yeah. He's just a douchebag.
Michael Crichton's The Sphere.
I would love it if it's like a mass market paperback. It's $3. It's in a dollar bin at B. Dalton.
The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
All right. Good advice. Good tips. Good hangs. Good jokes. Good episode.
Hey, thank you so much. I love giving advice. Yeah. I love giving advice, especially when the person can't be there to go, actually, that sounds – I'm like, nah.
You know what's good about your podcast is like you could host our podcast, but nobody else could host your podcast. You know what I mean? Like nobody else can be Gabrus.
Right. I could host your podcast for 5,000 listeners.
Thanks, man. I needed to hear that. Is there anything else you want to plug before we peace on out of here?
Please, no. Follow me on Twitter or on social media or Snapchat.
Hell yeah.
And listen to my podcast, High and Mighty, on the HeadGum Network.
If you want more of us talking to each other, I'm on Gabrus' episode. Jake's on an episode.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're both on an episode at a certain point.
Yeah, you're both on the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
And also, if you start listening to my podcast or you want to listen to my podcast, tweet at me with topics you'd like to see me talk about. That's something I'm thinking about getting into is learning about shit for listeners.
What episodes did you say you had in the can already that are coming out?
That are coming out. I have one about game shows coming out. I have one about weddings and one about comic books with a comic artist and illustrator and writer.
Oh, damn. Great.
And I've got a few more brewing that I think are going to be pretty exciting.
That means they're about beer, right?
Some of them.
Awesome.
Sick, dog.
10 episodes about beer. I love it.
Are you going to do an hour about Ollie's?
That's how sick it is. All right. More of Gabrus on the High and Mighty podcast. On HeadGum. So if you have your own questions, your own theme song submissions, like Tyler did, send it all over to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was by Tyler, the Trio 3B. And then this closing one is Maya, who did a ukulele. Second ukulele reference on the episode.
Good stuff.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, shitheads.
There is a show by Jake and Amir that answer questions from people who are full of fear. Yeah, if you got a problem, to help you out. Yeah, bro, you have to tune into the If I Were You show. Da-dum-dee-dum, da-dum-dee-dum. Just sit and enjoy the show. Da-dum-dee-dum, da-dum-dee-dum. You're really gonna like the show. Show Jake and Amir. If I Were You show, the only advice show in the entire world.
That was a HeadGum podcast.